hope is an incredibly powerful thing. It was for Aaron Ralston. On April 26, 2003, Ralston, a 27-year-old mountaineer and outdoorsman, set out on a day adventure in remote southeast Utah alone and without telling anybody where he'd gone. Ralston recounts in his own words what happened at 2:41 that afternoon as he was hiking around a narrow canyon. "I fell. I dislodge, I pull a large, like 800-pound rock loose, and it falls with me and eventually traps my right hand against the canyon wall, kind of like being stuck in the bottom of a well, essentially, but in the middle of a remote wilderness. He only had 1 liter of water and no jacket. He didn't have plans to be out overnight, but he was out overnight. 5 nights in all, 127 hours with his hand caught between this rock and the hard place of the canyon wall. He readily admits that there were times he thought about giving up, but in the end for him, hope was too strong a thing. He hoped to get out of there and to see his family again. And so Ralston eventually did what to me seems completely unthinkable. He had to break the bones in his own arm and use his small pocket knife to amputate it. Then he rappelled down a 60-foot cliff and hiked 7 miles before finally running on hope and fumes, he was rescued by a search helicopter. In the darkest of places, weak, exhausted, dehydrated, trapped, and with no way to communicate, hope of survival, hope of being reunited with his family, hope still carried him. We humans can do an awful lot. We can endure an awful lot when we have hope. But on the flip side of that, when we don't have hope, when we can't, when we won't hope in anything, even daily life at that point can be a tremendous struggle. Hopelessness can take hold when we've been burned before, right? When we've let ourselves hope only to have been disappointed. So it's not just having hope that matters. It's got to be having hope in the right things. We have to have a hope that will not disappoint. In the 7th chapter of Mark, we get this strange and unsettling story about well-placed hope. I say unsettling because when this Gentile woman asked Jesus to cast the demon out of her daughter, did you hear what Jesus said? "Let the children be fed first, for it's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." It seems completely uncharacteristic, but Jesus tells this woman, "The dogs have to wait for the children to eat, and you sure don't look like one of the children." So we can talk about how the people of Tyre and Sidon were the affluent folks who oppressed the Galilean working class people. We can point out that Jesus wasn't saying that he didn't come for the Gentiles, only that he came to the people of Israel first. Not quite a no, right? Just a not yet. We might draw attention to the fact that Jesus doesn't directly call this woman a dog. It's only a metaphor, right? But all of these actually come up way, way short for me. I can't quite make sense of this from the Jesus who consistently goes out of his way, outside of society's comfort zone, to care for the outsider, the sick, and the Gentile. But here we have this scene. In the face of her daughter's overwhelming need, the one person that this woman thought could help her shuts her down And it seems like the chances of healing for her daughter are utterly and completely exhausted. Except, this woman still has hope. Even after Jesus compares her to a dog, she has hope. And with that, she puts a fair amount of courage and persistence. She refuses to accept anything other than healing from Jesus, and she challenges him. Her hope was well-founded. Jesus comes through, and her daughter is immediately healed. If we can set aside for a moment this unsettling piece about Jesus initially refusing help and doing it in an offensive way, well, what we have here is a story of somebody who is desperate, somebody who had no options to get the help she needed, but somehow she still has hope, and she puts her hope in the right place. She puts her hope in Jesus. Jesus, as it turns out, is the one who in the end does not disappoint. Jesus, the one who brings healing to Jews and Gentiles. Jesus, who puts his fingers in the ear of the deaf and opens them to hear. Jesus, who feeds all who hunger, who will not, who cannot be stopped even by the power of death. That's where we have to put our ultimate hope. That this world, that we will be made right. We have to put our hope in Jesus because other people, well, they can be wonderful, right? But they can also disappoint us. They can leave us on our own, whether by choice or because of the power of death. We have to put our hope in Jesus because our own strength, skills, plans, they can go wrong in a heartbeat, right? Ask Aaron Ralston about that. He was an experienced outdoorsman and mountaineer. He knew what he was doing. He was physically fit, but it still all went wrong. With sin and death still holding sway, at least temporarily in this world, you and I cannot make this all right. We have to put our hope in Jesus because we can't be saved by the free market economy. We can't be saved by societal values. We can't be saved by politicians or governments, whatever side of the aisle they sit on. But when we hope in God, the God who is revealed to us in Jesus, we will not be disappointed. That hope is fulfilled. It looks like sight to the blind, hearing for the deaf, food for the hungry, freedom for the prisoners, justice for the oppressed. This is the hope that we claim. And not passively, as if to say, well, since God's taken care of it all, we can just wait around for God to clean up everything, and while he mops up, we'll do whatever we want. No, active hope is what we are about. Hope that puts all of its eggs in the Jesus basket. Hope that with this unnamed woman, this Gentile woman, actively leans into the promises of the kingdom of God. Hope that only Jesus can save us, but that with James, that we've been hearing from also in our second reading, hope that recognizes that there is good that we are called to be about here today, good in the world that we participate in the hope and promises of Jesus. In water and word, bread and wine, Jesus meets us, forgives us, and promises us eternal life. It's a sure and certain hope that will not disappoint. Claim that hope in your life. Hold on to that hope. And together, let's live like we do. Amen.